This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How important is it for you to be picked first? How much do you want to be picked first?
It's very important for me. You know, that's one of the goals I made before the season. Something I always talked about is what I work for. And I feel like I'm getting close to that. Just got to keep working, keep putting the effort in, and accomplish my dream.
How realistic do you feel like it is to go number one this year?
I feel like it's very realistic. And I feel like I'm the best player in the country, and the best player should be selected number one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the Penn State pass rusher, Abdul Carter. That is a guy, a man with a plan, with a mission. He is a force of nature on the field. He's a great pass rusher. He's a powerful guy. He's fast as all get out. He also now has been discovered to have a stress fracture, which they're calling it a stress in his foot. There's a possibility of some preemptive surgery that would put a screw in his foot.
He's damaged.
He's got a shoulder issue.
He's damaged.
That he played through.
He is definitely the most disruptive, dominant defensive player in the draft. He is not unlike, in terms of the way we're describing him, and in this draft, he's not unlike Jalen Carter was 2 years ago. When you talk about the best defensive player with the skill set capable of making him the number one overall pick, and then you begin to look for red flags. We don't need to relitigate Jalen Carter. This is a much different situation because it's medically the developments are related to a medical situation that we found out this week. We found out last night. Adam Schefter reporting through Drew Rosenhaus and through the information that he's getting that he's going to have to decide whether or not to have surgery, and the options aren't good, Mully. Bears repeating. Number one, you can have a screw inserted in your right foot. He could have a screw inserted in his right foot and return to working out and running in about 8 weeks. 8 weeks, you come back, you're running, you're working out, but you're going to be going into your first NFL season in your professional football career with a screw in your right foot. Number two, bypass that surgery, do your pro day at Penn State, listen to everyone rave over how good you are, how great you can be, and prove to NFL teams that you don't need that procedure, and let everybody who drafts you hold their breath for the next 10 years, or 10 months, or 10 weeks, or 10 days, however long it takes for you to have an owie or something to show up on and in an x-ray that shelves you for the next 6 to 8 to 10 months. So it's a problem.
Look, we don't know how far he will fall in the draft, but you don't hear, there won't be a lot of talk about him going number one overall. And look, the other element is one of these quarterbacks is going to be better than the others, is going to do something better than the others. They're going to catch some heat because the need for the quarterback position is so high. So I know there are guys out there. I know you could trade for Matthew Stafford. I know that that Aaron Rodgers might have a last shot left. I get the idea of what the market is. The problem is that people need quarterbacks. So you look at a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, or despite all the activity around the league, people want a young quarterback who's going to grow with their team and get better.
They
and
do.
Can teach.
That's even if it's an overdrafted quarterback.
They all are.
Which both of those guys would be.
No question.
At number one, if I'm the Tennessee Titans and I get this news this morning or last night,
yes.
I don't think they probably were aware of this, because that's what the purpose of the combine is, to reveal these kind of medical situations and make them available to all the teams. If I'm Tennessee, I am selling, auctioning this pick, number one overall, as much as I possibly can. They went through this with Javon Kearse and a screw in his foot. I mean, it's a long time ago, but it's still...
It's a great player, but limited in
because
how long
of
he played.
This kind of situation. And you can always find reasons not to draft a guy. This is a pretty legitimate one. And again, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but you have to anticipate some of these things. This is an unexpected development. And so you have two things. Number one, how far would he fall? And then if you're the Bears at 10 and he falls to you and he's dropped probably nine spots?
Nine teams pass on him.
Do you then think, all right, this is a worthwhile risk because we're drafting 10th and we're going to take our chances, roll the dice, and come draft the most disruptive defensive player in the draft? Or do you like, well, nine teams know what they're doing. We're going to be the 10th.
I think that, you know, I know this is an awful thing to say, but I think when you get to that point in the draft, when you get to 10, it's time where you could take a chance, where you could roll the dice. It's not the first pick in the draft, whatever. I just think that this year, where we're hoping the Bears can find impact play, the Bears need help in the trenches. If you're drafting a guy who has got an injury, and this comes down to a medical decision. This comes down to what your doctors tell you and what they project to be the length of his career. That sounds like you're just looking at a piece of meat and you're trying to figure out how many weeks it has. I mean, it's a terrible way to sound as you talk about a person's life and their career. But this is what the draft is. This is what the NFL is. You are evaluating this guy based on how quickly can he contribute and then based on how long he can contribute. So if you're talking about a guy whose career is impacted by this or his career won't be as long as it could be, if you're going to get 5 or 6 good years out of the guy, I'd take him at 10. I think it's
Do you think it's a chance worth taking
at that point.
If you're getting 5 or 6 good years out of him,
you're laughing.
You're laughing because that is probably what you want out of any draft pick. Everyone kind of exaggerates. Well, he's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 or 15 years.
You won't.
Who's there for 15 years? Really, no. It's the exception to the rule. You want 5 to 7 quality years, and that's a good draft pick. I just wonder if you could get 5 to 7 quality years out of Abdul Carter now.
We don't have the information. We haven't looked at it. We haven't talked about it. We don't have doctors. It starts with the doctors looking at it. Yeah, you know, that's going to be a problem within 18 months. He's really going to need to do something on that. And then you have all of your research people. Well, you know, this guy had that and did this. You need to really evaluate it. And, you know, it's just not a certainty. It is just something that alters your opinion that this is the guy to take because he's the most impactful.
It feels more like a short-term move than a long-term move if you were to draft him at 10. And you could justify it and rationalize it and get your medical people to support it, perhaps. But it would feel like you've got
They have a need there.
You have short-term goals and maybe a glaring need. Everybody's got a need for an edge rusher like this.
If you didn't know it before you watched the Eagles win the Super Bowl, when you have a good defensive line, do you know what you need? more defensive linemen.
Yeah.
You got to load up and you got to attack people in waves, and you can never, ever have enough good.
It's like what Bruce says in baseball, the adage is when you need a good hitter, you go find a good pitcher. And in football, when you want to score points or help your offense, you go get an edge rusher. Yeah. You go get a guy that can collapse the pocket and sack the quarterback.
Yep.
That makes your offense better. And certainly he's
chaos.
A guy you could find room for. And I want to... I guess as my own personal qualifier, I want to keep reminding myself the asterisk attached to this conversation is it continues to be fluid. This is the This is the first surprising development. This was breaking news last night at the Combine. It's the biggest news of the week in my view. And if it changes again and he gets better, more optimistic medical reports from somebody, okay. But this is still alarming if you are – maybe his camp's not surprised, but I think that there are teams that might be surprised at how troubling this looks when you're trying to project drafting a guy who has a stress fracture in his foot.
It's tough. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. But like I said, you know, 10 is about the time where you roll the bones a little.
Risk management is a thing if you're Ryan Poles. Do you think that... if, say, hypothetically, we're talking about it, at 10, Abdul Carter drops for medical reasons, how similar or different is that from the Jalen Carter situation? And did the fact that he passed on Jalen Carter make him more compelled to take that risk now?
Well, they're totally different because one was a character concern and this is a physical injury. I think when someone has an injury, it's worse than a character problem. The character problem... again, it's real simple. It's like all football character means, and character is like two different issues. The first is football character. That means, does the guy love the game? Does he want to go crazy on the field? Does he want to take control of the game? Does he want to make everyone around him better? Is he a good teammate? That kind of thing. That is different than like citizenship. You see what this guy did? You know, he had to transfer schools. Not because he got tired or bored there, but not for more money. He went down a level because he had whatever it might be, some arrest over something or other. And I think with Jalen Carter, the concern was that he kept getting into trouble and then people had died in this car racing thing. And then with him, it was a question, does he love the game? Can we control him? Does he have a kind of person? Can we tell him, hey, there's no speeding over here. Don't be doing that stuff. They felt they didn't have the people around him.
But you'd rather have a character concern than a medical concern.
Yes.
Because you can control it.
That's what I'm saying.
You can shape it. You can believe in your staff, in your infrastructure, in your players, in your veterans, and all those things in your organization, essentially, more than you can say, well, if you have a screw in your foot, we're going to make you all better because we have the best doctors here.
Nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it.
You're so right.
So that to me, and it's very interesting because of the position, and we heard from the edge rushers yesterday. So we heard from in the morning what we came into the segment with Abdul Carter speaking around 8:30 in the morning. By 8:30 p.m., this was news and people were starting to, be a little bit more alarmed.
Yes.
Mike Green, the edge rusher from Marshall. We'll talk to Kevin Fishbane at 7:25, who has a really interesting story on the Athletic's website about Mike Green, who led the country in sacks with 17 last year at Marshall.
17 sacks.
Why was he at Marshall? Well,
because he left Virginia.
Sexual assault allegations drove him out of Virginia to Marshall, and he has to address that, and he did address those, two of them, yesterday, pretty candidly, according to Kevin and the people who were there. So that's one of what you're talking about, a red flag that's not medical related, but he's also a guy who on tape, I think 10 might be a little high, but he's a first-round talent on tape if you feel like you have enough organizational support for somebody to keep the young man on the right path.
The old adage is that they get two things they didn't have in college. Now, that's changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But for this guy, I think it's pretty important. Time and money.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you're on your own. You're living alone. You got nothing but time. How do you fill that time? And then money. What do you do when you all of a sudden start earning? It changes you. and the way you approach life. And, you know, you come to a town like Chicago, and all of a sudden people want to buy you stuff and give you stuff and take you places. There are a lot of things that you've got to be able to handle, and you've got to have a support system that can help you adapt to your new circumstances. And, you know, it's a tough thing to do. It's tough for people going off on their own. You know, some people have never had money before, and it kind of will impact you. Now we're seeing, what did Caleb have, like $10 million when he showed up with the Bears?
He came in with a team, as a corporation, essentially.
Exactly.
He was the CEO of his own operation when he walked in the house hall.
If it works out, and if he works hard enough, and I'm not saying he doesn't work hard, I'm just saying if he commits to the plan, he's got a coach now who has a plan, who has developed quarterbacks, can get the best out of them. That means he could get $500 million when his contract is up. Now,
and that's not an exaggeration.
And I'm not exaggerating.
No. You look at what the quarterback market, how it's exploded, and how, you know, we're talking about Matthew Stafford changing teams. Why? Well, he's not among the top 16 paid quarterbacks, highest paid quarterbacks in the league, and he certainly is among the 16 best quarterbacks in the league.
No question.
He makes a relative pittance, and it's ridiculous and absurd, $27 million. He wants north of 50, and you know what? In this marketplace, he probably deserves it.
And he can
so
get it.
When you say $500 million to Caleb Williams when his contract comes due, ideally that's after taking the Bears to the Super Bowl.
That's
at the end of his rookie deal. You want to lock him up and be sure he's here long term.
If he becomes that player, that's what I'm saying. And he's in a good circumstance because they have Ben Johnson.
But, and he'll be better if get guys like Abdul Carter rushing the passer if he can stay healthy.
If the team gets better, he'll get better. If he gets better, the team will get better. It's all connected.
It's all connected.
But, you know, you got to protect him. And I have felt for a while that they don't really have a lot of choices in this draft. You know, one of the problems when somebody slips and you haven't looked at them and you haven't really done all the research you needed to do, then you jump on some bandwagon that, you know, you're in for a ride. You don't know exactly how that's going to work.
Getting a lot of reaction on the text line. Last couple of years from 904, we've criticized the Bears for signing players who had injuries and weren't able to ultimately play. Exactly. I don't think the Bears are in a position now where they can afford the luxury of taking someone who has a possible injury issue. They need players who can play right now.
Well, they need the trenches filled immediately. So, to me, that's one of the ways to fill it if a guy like that were to fall. But you still need a lot more. I told you, I would, the first three picks of the draft, I would take line of scrimmage.
Lineman. And 6-3-0. No more pre-injured draft picks. 7-7-3. If Poles were to roll the dice at 10th overall, he's already proven he will not. Same situation with Carter.
Well, I mean, not the same situation, but there was a question there. Had he traded down and taken the player who everyone projected to be the best in the draft and has turned out to be an absolute great player, the Bears would be a significantly better team. They'd be a different team right now.
Rich Mo, 815, screw or no screw, you would have to move up in the draft to get him.
Yeah, he's probably right. He's probably not falling far.
I don't know, man.
I mean, again, we don't know how bad it is or how serious it is.
But at first glance, it's there. I'm cautious.
You are correct, sir. But, I mean, maybe someone rolls the bones at 7. I don't know what the spot is, but the bottom 10 of the first round would be a precipitous fall in terms of the money
and
everything else.
It's an excellent word in this case, too. It would be precipitous.
Yeah. All right, we've got, who do we have? We have John. John's on the road. Hey, John.
Morning, John. Morning, John.
Oh, no. Did we, John?
You there, John?
Did
we lose you? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can. Go ahead.
Now we got you. I don't know.
Awesome. Thank you guys for taking my call. My call was just on the last text line about trading up. 7, 8, and 9 spots are Carolina, Jets, and New Orleans. If he falls that far, those teams need pass rush. They're going to take them. My question is now with this news, you know, you kind of have to think about moving up. I mean, Poles was tempted to move up for Adunze last year, and this is the best player in the draft. Even though there's this injury, I'm reading, you know, maybe some screws, a rod in the leg could be 8 weeks.
think about what you just said there, John. Really appreciate the phone call.
David, David.
Yeah.
Real quick. He's 21 years old. We're not going anywhere this year. This would be a long-term investment for a guy that's, like everybody said, Micah Parsons-esque. That's double-digit sacks for 6-7 years, like you mentioned. We haven't had that since I've been alive. I'm 39. We don't draft that anymore. The last time we did that was Leonard Floyd. That was a project. That was an off-the-ball linebacker that they converted. This is a hunter. We need that.
Thanks, John.
I like it. Thanks, John. I like that.
I like the idea. I just wonder if every evaluation of Abdul Carter potentially changed when you consider he's going to have a screw in his foot.
312-644-6767. We're going to head down to the combine. We're going to bring in Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic, and we'll ask him how much this news changes the draft. And does it open up an opportunity, or are you running scared? 312-644-6767. It's Million Hall on the Score.
Why should teams draft you?
Because I'm the best edge rusher here.
What makes you the best edge rusher?
Film.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Mike Green. He is the pass rusher from Marshall with an interesting backstory.
A little baggage.
And a little bit. And we are delighted to welcome in Kevin Fishbane. Does a great job covering the Bears for The Athletic, covering the draft down at the Combine. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Happy to be on with you.
Well, we appreciate your time. And a lot going on this week. It's been fun to see the, I'm going to call it the Ben Johnson show, because he's on every show. He's moving through the combine deftly, interviewing with everyone, telling interesting things. The guy, you know, what I love about the guy is he's not someone that just repeats the same information. He answers whatever question you ask him. And sometimes it's a different answer, not a contrary one, but just a deeper answer than he just gave to somebody else. I mean, it's almost like every time he talks, you got to hang on what he's saying.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because we were, I don't know if worried is too strong, but whenever you get one of these offensive guru types who you don't really hear press conferences from, like, our big question is, how's he going to handle all that stuff? And he's been great. I mean, you know, nothing really matters until the games begin, but you know, he's winning everybody over, and you're right. He's giving good quotes, and he's being thoughtful, and you know, I kind of like how confident the guy is. You know, he talks about how important it is for him to just be considered a really good football coach, and that's his goal. And you can see the confidence he has, and he should be confident. He knows that he was the, you know, the number one attraction of the coaching cycle, and he knows he was paid that way. And you know, I'm sure Bears fans are really enjoying kind of a breath of fresh air in terms of not having to kind of decipher what he's saying. And good, I'll be honest with you, I kind of set an unfair low bar for his first combine press conference, because those are kind of tough. We have to really shout our questions in at him, and it's his first time doing one of those. And I thought maybe he would, you know, not like he's giving away the farm, but I thought he was good. He was much better than I expected. So credit to him for getting everybody excited, as we're only, what, 6+ months away from week one.
Kevin, really good story in The Athletic this morning about Mike Green, the Marshall edge rusher who had 2 sexual assault allegations at Virginia, and he addressed them yesterday, and you talked about whether or not he would drop and how that will affect his draft status. Different situation, but same idea about dropping in the draft. Abdul Carter, another edge rusher at the top of the draft, could be the potential number one overall pick. News last night that he might have a stress fracture in his foot and might require surgery. How far do you think those two guys will fall in their respective positions, and how surprising was the Carter news specifically?
Yeah, I mean, the Carter news took everyone by surprise, especially because we heard from him in the morning, and then, you know, you hear that in the afternoon. And frankly, David, I wasn't even by his podium in the morning, because I'm thinking, I cover the Bears.
Right.
Abdul Carter's going to be long gone by the time the Bears pick. And, yeah, who, you know, that's going to be an interesting one, because, you know, I think Bears fans probably, if you think back to a certain top 10 pick a decade ago, might have some fears about a stress fracture. And you can think about how far that, you know, how much that could impact him, or maybe he'll be just fine and they figure it out early enough. And, you know, someone who's that talented, who's talked about in the regard of Carter as being a top pick, I'm not sure. And the problem is for this draft, which is, you know, kind of a problem for the Bears, is there's just not enough quarterbacks. Like, this is just not, like, if this was last year's quarterback class, you know, and the Bears already had their guy, they'd be in great shape right now. I mean, they're still in great shape. They've got 3 picks in the top 41. But it would be nice for them if Jackson Dart just has a phenomenal next month or two, so that somebody falls in love with him. Because, and that's going to impact Abdul Carter as well, because, you know, if you're one of those teams at the top, would you rather a guy who is as explosive and dominant at a premium position like him, and you take the chance that he's going to be ready to go? Because if you know, because there just aren't that many stars, there aren't many sure things from what the draft prognosticators say about this year's class.
And I don't think the Bears should be star hunting. I really believe that the first 3 picks of this draft, all those good top 41 players, they got to get line of scrimmage. They got to get the trenches. They need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. And I think that, like, we'll have an argument about Ashton Jeanthe or whomever it is. I don't think they have the luxury. I think they've got to build from within, from inside, close to the ball. And I don't think they have a choice about that. And frankly, I think they should do the same thing in free agency.
Yeah, and the thing is about the Jeanthe situation is they have too many holes in the offensive line for you to say, well, if they sign these 2 guards, they'll be good to go draft Jeanthe. They still need a tackle and a center. So, you know, I think that the Jeanthe thing's an interesting thought exercise, because you have Ben Johnson, who saw what a dynamic running back did for his offense in Detroit. You have Ryan Poles, who was part of a Super Bowl team that used running backs from wherever to be great in Kansas City. So, like, I'd be curious those conversations. But yeah, I mean, this thing, like, the next 2 months for the Bears, it just has to be all about building up both lines. And I think that, you know, the one impact that we could see from free agency vis-a-vis the draft is if they do sign those, you know, 2 big name offensive linemen.
Right.
You know, I wonder how much that leans them toward trying to get that edge rusher with that first pick in the draft, and if they're more comfortable doing that, and then you know, you have those 2 picks in the second round. And again, you know, you guys know every there's 32 different draft boards, and every draft expert has his own draft board. But if you look at some of these, you know, if you look at some of these experts, and you guys know, I mean, Dane Brugler is my colleague. He does a phenomenal job.
Oh, great.
There's a lot of really good offensive linemen he has ranked in that 30 to 45 range. So the Bears could certainly come out with a starter or 2 in round 2 as well.
Yeah, that's why everybody needs to keep an open mind, because things will be changing, and also depending on free agency. In your scenario, that's why I don't want to say a hard no to the idea of Jeanthe on February 27th, because if they do rebuild their offensive line through free agency and you're sitting there, I think Ben Johnson's voice is going to be the one that is heard the loudest in that draft room. And if he says and thinks that that's the highest guy on their board and he can do with the running back, there's some draft nicks.
But this is a running back draft. You might get a guy in the third round.
But Ashton Jeanthe might be a guy who's the top guy on your board. I've seen some guys where he's in the top 5 of players evaluated in this draft class. But I just don't want to say no right now.
But right now, you know what he'd be if he was drafted into this team? Tackled is the word. Because who's blocking for him?
But you ignored what I just said to begin that conversation.
I know what you're
saying. If you have the free agency address, if you address the right side of the line in free agency, you got a different mindset, Kevin, going into the draft.
No, I think you do. And look, guys, I talk a lot about this window the Bears have, and any team has. Like, these aren't 8 to 10 year windows anymore when you're drafting guys. I mean, you have to look at this if you're the Bears, that you have the next really 3 years to strike. And if Caleb Williams turns out to be a star, you obviously feel great about whatever contract you have to give him, and you make it work. And if he's a star, like Josh Allen. It doesn't matter how much money he's making. You're going to continue to be competitive. That's the best case scenario. But you look at Ashton Jeanty, David, to your point, like, you're looking at this 3-4 year window, which is when Ashton Jeanty is going to be at his best. This is when he's going to be a phenomenal NFL player, you would think, in these first couple years of his career, and go ahead and strike. But, you know, that's where, you know, and Ryan Poles was asked if he preferred the flip it, where the draft comes first and free agency comes second, like we see in the NBA. And, you know, then these conversations. I always think back, guys, you know, there was, I think it was like 10 years ago, we spent all Combine and Senior Bowl talking about linebackers. It was Vic Fangio's second year. You knew he needed linebackers for his 3-4 defense. So we're at the Combine. We're talking to all these linebackers. We're watching them do their Combine drills. Then free agency starts, and what do the Bears do? They sign Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. And that's like, okay, well, so much for all that time spent watching these linebackers and trying to figure out which one the Bears are going to take. So, you know, free agency could change everything. And in this case, yeah, if you feel really good about the offensive line, I think that opens free agency, a lot of it is how flexible can it make you in the draft? If you can sign all these guys, maybe trade for somebody, you want to really be as flexible as you can with that 10th pick to just add a really, really good player.
What would you do with the guys currently out of contract and heading to free agency? I mean, I keep telling David I'd like to see Matt Pryor brought back as a depth piece. You know, give him another one-year deal. See if the guy can fill in at guard or tack or wherever you need him. He seems like the kind of guy that can do pretty well for himself. I thought he had a good year.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's an easy decision for the Bears. Now, I think Matt Pryor is an example of something we're seeing in the NFL now where, you know, for so long it was you're a starting offensive lineman or you're not. And that was how the contracts were. But I feel like Matt Pryor is kind of this middle class that is somebody who you might not sign him to be your week one starter, but you know he's probably going to start 5 games for you, possibly at 2 to 3 different positions. And he showed that versatility last year, and I think that could be rewarded. And you could reward that without really hurting your bank account. So, I mean, it is interesting that the Bears – I mean, it's a good thing, I guess, because the Bears don't have to worry about signing a lot of their own, that we're talking about Matt Pryor as the guy that makes the most sense of the unrestricted free agents. But you're right, Mel. I mean, he proved his worth, and he's the type of guy that, you know, you would want to bring back because he can fill in at 4 different spots on your line.
What's the most surprising thing you heard from Ben Johnson this week?
Most surprising thing? You know, I kind of thought, as I said earlier, that he was pretty open with us, and just that in itself I thought was a little surprising. And, you know, when he talks about Caleb Williams' off-schedule stuff, and I wrote about this that day, David, when you hear coaches lot of players off schedule stuff for a quarterback, you kind of go, uh-oh, like, is that his? You don't want that,
right?
You want his best attribute to be like, oh, you know, something else. But I appreciated, you know, and I also found it surprising just because of the era we're in, that Ben Johnson goes, this is what quarterbacks do now, and it just reminded you that he's not going to make Caleb Williams something Caleb Williams is not. And he's going to come in here and say, this is something you do that very few guys on the planet can do, and I'm going to get the best out of it. And Caleb Williams could be a progression thrower in the pocket. Like, he's capable of it, but it's not necessarily where he's best. And I was interested to hear the way Ben Johnson explained that. And it was a little surprising because, again, you don't hear coaches say that very often and say it in a way that Ben Johnson did. Yeah, this guy is so good when it's off schedule. He's so good when he's creative. And if you feel good about Ben Johnson, you should feel good that he's going to, you know, take that trait and make sure it works out well for the Bears' offense.
He got the Lions' offense to number one in the NFL. How long does it take to do that here?
I mean, what's it been? Well, like 70 years, right? Was it 1956?
When did they first use the T formation? I'll never forget the way they thrilled the nation.
It might take a couple years. I keep going back to this idea. And when you talk to people around the league about Ben Johnson, one of the things they always emphasize is he's going to put these guys in good position to succeed. And you know, you hear that a lot, and it sounds obvious because it's what coaches are supposed to do. But the Bears haven't had guys who actually do it, especially on that side of the football.
Right.
So I'm very intrigued to see when he's sitting there watching Roma Dunze, when he's watching DJ Moore, when he's watching Cole Kmet, who we all know was underutilized last year, or when he's watching whatever other tight end he wants to bring in, like all these different things. If it's an Ashton Jeanty, if it's a Caleb Johnson, like you just feel good that this guy is going to create an offense that is going to look a lot better than anything we've seen in the city in a while. And so, you know, I still want to give it a few years because it's, as I said, right now they're at once every three quarters of a century. So we've got, so it might be a bit.
Great stuff, Kevin.
Great stuff, Kevin. Thanks.
All right, take care, guys.
That is Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. That is great stuff. I really enjoyed that conversation. I'm also thinking, David, play action would help the quarterback a ton. So
well, that's
if you
the
get
idea.
A running back that is dangerous.
Ben Johnson is consistent about many things, but nothing more than this. He's going to establish a running game.
Yes, he
as
is.
Part of the identity of the Bears offense. And through that, everything else will come.
312-644-6767. It's Smelly and Haw on The Score.
We got to interview Caleb on the podcast back in August of last year. And I asked him this question. I'm curious to know your answer to it as well. But if there was a button that you could press, and if you press the button, the Bears would win 10 Super Bowls, but one random Bears fan would die, would you press that button?
Whew. I already gave up my life, so as long as they build a statue being like, he died for 10
Super Bowls. Can I not just give a body part instead?
Yeah.
Pinky?
Yeah, which
pinky.
Body part would you sacrifice?
Well, I've got the three kids. My wife is already telling me what
okay.
I need to do next.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I guess we can go with the testicles.
Oh, mother of God. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I'll tell you what, there's a man that really wants to win.
He's talking a lot. He's doing every interview.
What
he's
in the name of
buying
God?
Into
how,
the,
how he's answering every question.
He's answering every question. And
that is hysterical.
It's the Ben Johnson show of shows down in Indy.
He's already got three kids.
Yeah. So that was yesterday,
Unique
I believe.
Me. Wow.
On Pardon My Take, I believe was a podcast.
Holy
so,
guacamole.
More from him today, probably. Who's working out today?
It's hard to even comment on that. You know, it's so silly.
It really is.
But, it really is. You press a button, you know, come on, man.
So the NFL news this week has a lot surrounded the quarterback situation.
Yes.
And there are all kinds of reports now, conflicting reports about Matthew Stafford and did he or did he, you know, talk to Tom Brady? Did he run into him accidentally or otherwise? Matthew Stafford on his way to the Giants. All the Matthew Stafford news. He's kind of
they were at the same ski resort in Montana, and Tom has a home there, as does Stafford, and he brought him over to his house or something. Is that the story?
That's the story.
Is that illegal? You're not allowed to do that because Tom's breaking rules here.
He's a minority owner.
Yes,
that's tampering.
Okay, well, I mean,
if it's proven to be the case,
well, they got to trade for him first.
Well, yeah, you can't negotiate with other players who are under contract.
Here's some buttered rum.
Where do you think he lands?
Well, I'm not sure he's leaving. I'm not sure that's happening yet, and I'm a little confused.
But if he doesn't leave, how does Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams go to L.A. to play for the Rams? That was part of the deal, too.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That's the combine week. All kinds of rumors.
It boggles the mind.
Kirk Cousins, what's he going to do in Atlanta? Where's he headed?
I need to go someplace with dark and silence. He's stuck. They're stuck with him. Because I guess he's a backup now, but I don't know. He's a good guy. I don't know what you get out of him, and I don't know who's going to trade for him. I think they're stuck with him because they got to pay him. And they're would anyone take on that deal at this point after the year he had, Captain Kirk?
I don't think so. Not at his salary. Not at his age.
Aren't you delighted and happy that the Bears don't have this problem this year? That with all, you think about it. We got every guy that's cut, Bear fans are like, sign that guy. Why don't you get this guy? We're making trades all over the place. Everyone's playing fantasy football because there's change. Imagine if you needed a quarterback, what this town would go like.
Well, that's been the rule, not the exception. I mean,
that's been the rule.
We are now living in exceptional times because it is the exception. When you have a quarterback, you don't have to answer that question this offseason. And it is, it's exciting for the Bears to consider if they fill a hole there, If they get the offensive line questions, many of them answered in free agency, you don't want to ignore it during the draft, but it might affect your priorities. It might allow you some flexibility that you don't currently have, because if they don't get what they want in free agency, you've got to draft the best available left tackle or offensive tackle at 10.
Yes.
I think that's everything is kind of like contingent upon – you have contingency plans going into the draft. That's one of them.
I love that we're living in exceptional times. That is a very funny comment.
Well,
it just works on so many levels.
It's so many levels because he is an exceptional quarterback, and this is the exception to the rule. He works here in Chicago.
That's hard to believe. Let's hope he works better. I think there's a possibility of all of this working out.
And yet the only team in town that's close to a championship, or the team closest to a championship, the Cubs. We should talk Cubs a little bit when we come back.
Yeah, we will. We'll get to the Cubs. We'll do that next. They drew yesterday. The glory of international soccer makes me appreciate a good draw. I don't know if anyone else likes it, but they didn't lose.
They didn't lose. They're still unbeaten in Arizona.
You can't get to the Cubs, but we'll get to them next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.